Thanks for joining us again on the Cornerstone Sermon Podcast. This week we finish up our Beyond the Building series, and we go on location to Larry's farm as he shares a message about how we can grow to become more like Christ. If you want to find out more about Cornerstone, visit us online at mycornerstone.org. Thanks.
Hi, welcome to Cornerstone. What do you think of our new outdoor amphitheater? The reason we're here today is because this is the last week in our series Beyond the Building. And we really just wanted to take one more chance to get as far away from the church building as we could, since we can't meet there anyway, and talk to you a little bit about what the Christian life is like. And today we're going to kind of cover a subject that I feel personally has been misconstrued and misunderstood and probably not always been translated properly. And so we just want to take a few minutes, not a real long sermon, but just to cover the topic of sanctification. But before we do that, I would encourage you, if you're new to Cornerstone or if you have a prayer request, maybe you want to sign up for a life group, maybe be baptized soon, to go on over on your browser to mycornerstone.fyi and bookmark that site, because you'll find a lot of good information there about all those things that I just talked about. Or you can just simply submit a prayer request or introduce yourself to us using the online follow-up card. So if you've got your Bibles today, open it to Romans chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 6. And I want to read some scripture to you, and then we'll discuss it a little bit. Again, our topic is sanctification, and I'm going to come right out with the idea. The big idea of this message is that sanctification is the process of God making us more like His Son. And it's a process that we can either open ourselves up to, or we can hinder with sin in our life. So again, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, and we'll start at verse 6, and I'll read that to you. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ, so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with Him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and He will never die again. Death no longer has any power over Him. When He died once to break the power of sin. But now that He lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Verse 12, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to its sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Amen, amen. So that leads us right to our first application point for this message. And it's simply this. We can offer ourselves up to God, allowing Him to gracefully sanctify us. You know, it's interesting, if you've read the book of Romans at all, you'll see this fact. But actually, if you haven't read the book of Romans, I'd encourage you to read it all the way through one time and then go back and read it through really slowly. Because if you really want to deal with some of the issues of being a Christian or even becoming a Christian, Romans covers it. I'm telling you, you can't read it enough. There's nugget after nugget, and we're going to hit a few of those right now. So anyway, Romans 6 seems to capture what I would say is the central tension of the Christian life, the life at least we have here on earth. It says that we have died to sin, but we still sin. So why do we still sin if we've died with Christ to sin, and we also will live with Him? That's the key question in Romans 6. Paul submits to us, but he also answers it. And so, praise God, we've got an answer. As I said before, sanctification is important, but even a difficult subject sometimes that we have to learn as Christians. Many of our problems, I think, come from the fact that a lot of times we kind of blend or combine the idea of sanctification and justification. And I think that's a mistake. I think the Bible's pretty clear about that. And there's a pastor, author up in, I think it's in Boston, Massachusetts, that kind of wrote up some of the differences between sanctification and justification in such a clear way. Rather than me try to come up with something, I just want to read it to you. His name is Eric Raymond, and just kind of listen to his differences between the two. Justification happens outside of you. You are declared righteous. Sanctification happens inside of you. You are made righteous. Justification is a one-time event. Sanctification is a continual process. When we are justified, we are declared righteous positionally. That is, we are righteous before God. However, while we are positionally righteous, we are practically, in effect, not really righteous. We sin. While doubtless we are growing in grace, we are still, when we are compared to Christ, we are unrighteous. But sanctification is the gradual conformity to the likeness of Christ. In other words, sanctification is the gradual process of becoming practically what we are positionally. So sanctification is becoming like Christ, where justification makes us seated with Christ, and we get to partake of the same things that he has partaken of. He is dead to sin, so are we. You know, when I was reading about this and studying some of these scriptures, some of the things that came to mind were some transformations that happen in the world. And that's kind of, we talk about new birth as a Christian, and that we're born again, and that we're changed, we're transformed. And I was thinking about some of the transformations that we see in life. And a lot of times we like to call attention to those transformations and compare ourselves with them. I think one of the things that is real common is the comparison of a caterpillar when it becomes a butterfly. You know, it goes in this cocoon, basically, and then it comes out a completely different creature. And it's almost unrecognizable, the difference. Another thing that I thought of was like a chicken egg or a bird egg. If you crack a chicken egg open, which we do almost every morning around here on the farm, you crack it open, it's just a yellow yolk and some gooey white stuff. And if you heat it up, it tastes pretty good. And probably eat too much of it. But anyway, that's another point. But if you let that same egg sit under the mama chicken for long enough, you get a bird. You get a chicken out of it. I mean, it's just amazing, the process of transformation there. Another transformation I think of is, you know, we've got a garden over the hill there, and we've planted some seeds into the ground. And it's interesting, a lot of the seeds look like what you eat, especially like corn or beans. They look like the thing that you eat. But if you don't eat that seed, instead you prep it properly and plant it in the ground, it actually becomes the plant. And it looks just like the plant that gave birth to it. And the cycle continues. But I think probably the best transformation to compare spiritual growth and spiritual sanctification is that of a child or an infant growing into an adult. And when I compare that, you know, I have four grown children now, but I can still think of the day that they were born and the amazing process that they went through over this long, slow period, especially for humans. It's so much longer and slower than it is for animals on the planet. And it takes us literally forever, it seems, to mature, to grow up. Years and years. My daughter's in her mid-20s, and she's just graduating from college, and now she's ready to go out into the world. You know, but that maturity, that process, took some responsibility on my part as a parent, and there was some responsibility on her part as a child. And I think there's a lot of good comparison between the sanctification process as we grow in Christ and that of growing as a youth to an adult. You know, that makes me think of one of the things that I've learned over the years and studied, and boy, it's still a struggle to apply these to your life, is spiritual disciplines. And, you know, even talking about, you know, raising a child, there's discipline involved. There's discipline by the parent. And if the child wants to be educated and grow up and maybe become a productive member of society, they have to apply some discipline in their own lives. And to do that spiritually, we have to do that as well. You know, some of the examples that I still participate with, and some that I probably don't do as much as I should, are prayer, times of silence and solitude, fasting, and studying Scripture. Those are all things that really help us grow and become sanctified. In other words, we put our own lives apart for the life of Christ, and we're moving towards becoming more like Him. And those are just tools, really, in becoming more like him. And that part about discipline, that kind of, and spiritual disciplines, that kind of leads us to our second application point. And I think it's important that you understand, you know, about us at Cornerstone. The elders and the leaders at Cornerstone are not in the business of telling you what to do. We aren't here to tell you, do this, don't do this, you should be doing this, you shouldn't be doing this, and so on. That's really not our job. Instead, our focus and our ultimate goal is just to invite you to work together with us to find God's will for all our lives. And then we want to help you as you help us to live it, to walk in it daily. You know, and I compare that to some of the leadership that Jesus talked about in the New Testament. He say when he was denouncing the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, let me read you that scripture. He said of them that they tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. I'll tell you, that's not what we want to be as leaders at Cornerstone. And Paul, when he was explaining to the church at Corinth the goal of his visits and his letters, he said, it's not about dominating you, telling you what to do. Instead, he said, it's about joy and strength through your faith. Let me read you that scripture out of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. But that does not mean we want to dominate you by telling you how to put your faith into practice. We want to work together with you so that you will be full of joy, for it is by your own faith that you stand firm. You know, I think about it. Who are we, the elders and the leaders at Cornerstone, really? I mean, we're just like everybody else. You know, I run a small business, and it's small, I'm telling you. And this time during the COVID crisis, it's been a struggle. I'm going through some of the same struggles that you are. Pastor Mike was, a mechanical engineer before he got the full-time call to ministry. Randy's in the newspaper business. Chris works for an energy company. I could go on about the leadership in Cornerstone. We're just like you all. We may have different jobs, different professions. Our families and home life might look a little bit different, but we face a lot of the same struggles. And we're here to encourage you. We're here to help you grow. We're here to help you be sanctified. And we don't do that by dominating you or telling you, do this, don't do this. But we just want to share the word with you through the power of the Holy Spirit and help you to invite him in to do his work within you. You know, as I mentioned, that my wife Trina and I have a garden just over the hill there. And as we just moved here last year, so there was no garden there. We had to have the soil. We had to break up the soil and have it tilled. And I actually dreaded that job and was trying to figure out how I was going to accomplish it in early spring. And ended up getting one of the churchgoers to come and do it. His son, John Haynes, came over and tilled it for me. And I'll tell you, that was a huge relief. It was a joy in my life to have somebody else do that job because it's a large garden. But then we realized, I don't know why I didn't think of this before, but as soon as the garden was done being tilled, I realized that I had to keep the predators out. And when I say predators, around here, I'm talking about deer and rabbits and even squirrels. And I thought, well, how am I going to keep those out? So I had to build a tall fence all the way around the garden. And that was an expense, actually, and it was a lot of work. And then after that, we had to prepare the soil some more, turn it, get it ready for the seeds. We made beds for the potatoes, which are now coming up, and it's amazing to see. And the onions and garlic and beans and corn. And it's just a huge, long process. In a way, our lives are like that. There's a lot of things that we can do to prepare the soil, to grow, to bear fruit. But the truth is, no matter how successful you are as a gardener, there's still things beyond your control that can undo the work that you've done. And that's the case with the beans that I planted over there in the early corn. The heavy winds that we had the last couple of weeks and the strong rains actually killed it all and knocked it all down. And we had to turn that soil back over and replant those crops. And it was a little bit of work and it was a little bit frustrating, but it was just something that was beyond my control. When I think about that, I have this quote here from an author named Philip Kinnison from his book. His book's called Life on the Vine, Cultivating the Fruit of the Spirit. And let me just read to you what he says. There is much that a farmer can do, but the farmer cannot make the seed sprout, the sun shine, or the rain fall. In fact, it is only because the farmer trusts that these good gifts will continue to be given that the challenging and risk-filled enterprise of farming is undertaken at all. You know, that's so true with a garden, even a little garden like ours, or a large farm, but that's so true with us. There's a lot that we can do, and it's our responsibility to do those things. But there's a lot that only God can do. We need Him working in us, and I will get to that soon. And the same truth applies to our spiritual growth. There is very much for us to do, but there is even more that's out of our control, and we have to trust God. You know, I think of when my daughter was very young, she was a little bit clumsy. She got that from me, honestly. And my son was wide open. He was a few years older. And they would play just as hard as they could play. We lived a little bit remotely. And they were such good friends. And they were just playing wide open all the time. And I was always trying to protect her, keeping her from getting killed by him, you know, unintentionally, obviously. But he was just danger stalking at every corner. And she was oblivious to it. And one day, as I started to kind of rise and go across the room to pull her out of danger that I imagined was going to come if my son came bursting into the room, I just felt like God spoke to me and he said, you know, at some point, you're just going to have to trust me a little bit. You're going to have to let me watch over your children. And it was such an emotional moment for me. I mean, she had no clue that she was in danger. And the truth was that she was able to navigate her way past my son. And she didn't get killed that moment. And she's still alive. Praise God. But it was such a relief to me as I realized that God cared about the things that I cared about. And he wanted to help me. He wanted my children to grow. And he wanted me to grow. And he wanted me to learn to trust him. So, you know, back to Romans 6, I kind of want to close with these thoughts. In verse 13, there's some good language about describing the part that we play in our own sanctification. And I'll just reference it. It says, don't offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. It says in verse 13 that in particular, we should not use our natural capacities, our faculties, not our limbs, to commit sin. Instead, we should present ourselves to God and all of our members, all of our body. What's that look like? Well, with our eyes, I think it represents what we look at, what we see. With our ears, it's what we listen to and what we hear. With our mouth, sometimes it's what we say. Sometimes what we say surprises us because it comes out of our innermost being and we're surprised by the sin that's still in us. As far as our hands, the members, our hands, it's kind of what we do, whether for ourselves or for God or for someone else. Our feet, do we serve God with our feet? Where do we go? Are we serving ourselves? Our hearts, what do we love? What do we care about? What are we passionate about? Are those the same things that Christ was passionate about, that he loves? And our minds, what do we think about? What do we fill our minds with? The Bible says that we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that's a part of the process that we have, the responsibility that we have. And then our wills, when it comes to the moment of making a decision, are we giving that will, that decision over to God? And being his tool, his instruments of righteousness. All of this brings us to our final point. We are not expected to do life on our own. God is here. Emmanuel, God is with us. That's the wonderful thing about the New Testament that separates it really from the Old Testament, is that now God is here with each and every one of us if we call upon him to help us. In verse 14 of Romans 6, there was kind of a reminder that it should shape our understanding of sanctification, that we are not under the law, the Old Testament, but we're under grace. And we need to do everything in our power to open ourselves up to God's work, to give ourselves to him as instruments for his use, and how he makes us more and more conformed to the image of Christ is God's work, not our work. It's God's work. Let's close with this final scripture about sanctification and how God is working at us. It's from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. Dear friends, you have always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it is even more important. Here it is. Pay close attention. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you. God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. So sanctification, we open ourselves up to God. We offer ourselves up to Him. We kind of keep a guard, like the fence around my garden. We keep a guard over our lives. And we do our part, and God will do His part. And we will see transformation. We will see sanctification. And God will be with us. Amen? Amen.
So today you got to hear a great message about sanctification, about what it looks like to grow and become more like Christ. And the first step of that process is when you surrender your life to Jesus. And so today, whether you're watching online on Facebook or whether you're tuned in at a later date, here's what we want to do. We want to give you an invitation, a chance to respond, a chance to make Jesus the Lord of your life. That's the first step to becoming more like Christ, is to make Him your Lord and Savior. That happens when you put your faith and your trust in Jesus and you ask Him to save you. And so right now, this is your chance. This is your opportunity to do that. And so, would you pray with me right now if you would like to make Jesus your Lord? Just say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for this message from the wonderful book of Romans that helps me understand what it looks like to have my life transformed to be more like Jesus. And today, right now, I want to put my faith and my trust in Jesus to save me. I know He died on the cross to save me from my sin. And I know that it starts a lifelong process of sanctification that starts right now, right here, as you help me grow to become more like your Son, Jesus. So Heavenly Father, come into my life, save me, transform me, help me to be more like Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And here's what I want you to know. If you just prayed that prayer, would you let us know? You can let us know in the comments below. You can go to mycornerstone.fyi and actually fill out a connection card there just so we can help you and follow up and provide you the resources you need as you journey in your life of faith. Thank you so much for joining in today. And now we return to worship where we can join together in this special series, Beyond the Building. Thanks for joining in.